Good morning, Orville. Today is Monday, 8th of October, and right now it's partly cloudy on 27 degrees Celsius, and the weather forecast for today says partly cloudy with a chance of a thunderstorm and rain in the afternoon, with temperatures ranging from low 27 to high of 32, and with a heat index on 37 degrees Celsius. Winds from north at 5 to 20 kilometers per hour and shifting to the easterly winds in the afternoon. And later on we can expect mostly cloudy with a chance of a thunderstorm and rain, and then thunderstorms after midnight, with winds from the south at 5 to 15 kilometers per hour. Chance of a rain is on 80%. Moon is waning gibbous, illuminated on 51%. The festival event team invites us tomorrow, Tuesday, at 5:15 p.m. at Unity Pavilion in International Zone, where they would like to meet for a sharing and evaluation of the recent Auroville Festival event in Delhi. Today's interview features Andrea Page, ethnobotanist and global nomad. It just crossed my mind to reading you the notes that you're ethnobotanist, and I asked myself, what is that? Explain what is that?
That's a great question.
That you say, it's written Andy, ethnobotanist.
Actually, ethnobotany is it's the topic of my master's degree. I've just done a master's of science in the time I've been away from Auroville in ethnobotany, and the word comes with two independent parts, ethno.
It means people.
Exactly, like anthro or ethnology. And botany is the study of plants. So ethnobotany is then the study of the relationship between people and plants. And you can also look at economic botany, how people use plants. So this wooden desk that the microphone seated on, the food that we ate for breakfast, I had a bunch of fruit, the clothes you're wearing are made out of cotton. All of this is ethnobotany. You could look at henna designs, people are using plants for dyes. It goes on and on. Medicinal plants, herbal plants, etc.
You can really expand it in actually anything you want.
Exactly, exactly. So ethnobotany in itself is a beautiful field because it's very interdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. It's a cross between the social sciences and the natural sciences, between anthropology and biology. It's right there at the crossroads. So it's a bit cutting edge in that respect.
Since humans, we are studying things, is not everything that?
Exactly. So this is then the question. Yes, I say I'm an ethnobotanist because I have a degree in it. But in fact, most people in Auroville are ethnobotanists because they're interested in using plants and finding new ways to use plants and appreciating the myriad of ways in which plants can be used.
So which was the topic you really specify on your, let's say, on your master's?
Great question. Yeah, my specialty, anyone who really knows me won't be surprised that my specialty is food plants. So I also work as a holistic plant-based nutrition consultant, and that fits really well in. I study diet. And for my thesis, I went to Bali, Indonesia, and I studied change in diet over three generations.
Are you gonna study the local bioregion as well?
I'm not sure. I'm
because the change is different. You can see in the bodies, can't you?
Yes.
I mean, it's terrible.
It's clear. This is very much related to the framework under which I did my master's thesis research. It's something called the nutrition transition, which is a very obvious thing to see, that people are eating different diets, mostly one higher in concentrated protein, so higher in meat, higher in processed products like wheat and sugar, and higher in fats like refined oils.
That's tough, yeah.
So this has correlated to a large rise in disease, non-communicable disease like heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, cancer, and obesity, all of which are completely preventable, possible, and reversible through diet and lifestyle. So That's the kind of work that I study, and even that falls under ethnobotany.
Interesting. But are you planning to look for a job?
Well, with my specialty in food, I could possibly be employed by the UNFAO, Food and Agriculture Organization, and that would possibly be something I'm interested in doing, but with anything, I really make all of my different certifications or whatever part of my own practice. So I'm not interested in so much of a 9-to-5 job as much as I'm interested in living it and continuing to learn through my own experience.
And especially because you through the years, you do get accustomed to be a nomad person, yeah?
Yeah. Mm. In the past 6 years, I've been traveling in all 6 continents. I haven't been to Antarctica and I haven't been to sub-Saharan Africa. But the world's a big place. I've just been able to kind of take bits and pieces from everywhere that I've been, pick up languages, learn whatever there is to learn, and share it along the way. And that's part of the nomad lifestyle.
So how do you support yourself? Just with sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm able to work, luckily, with a lot of the trainings that I have, teaching yoga, working as a colon hydrotherapist, or a nutrition consultant, teaching English, whatever it is, I'm able to set up kind of stable jobs around the world. And then, of course, when I'm in Oroville, I do lots of those things voluntarily. And I'm glad to, because I receive so much back from Oroville, and I find that the more I give, the more I receive.
But yet still, to be a nomad, it's got a shortage. You cannot produce your own food. I mean, maybe for one season, but still you don't know. Because it's to something to be so-called organic, which I think is almost impossible on the planet right now. But let's say at least the best it could be, it's after 5 years when you clean up the soil. That you cannot do with your lifestyle.
Correct.
So how you supplement this?
How do I supplement that? Well, I mean, it's difficult. So the first thing that I try to ease is, rather than the actual material matter of the food, is the emotional matter of where am I going to get my next meal, because that's going to have much more of an impact
on you, right?
Than the food I eat. And I, in my diet, try to eat overgrown plants in their natural state. So that's a lot of leafy greens, a lot of fruit, and a lot of vegetables with seeds that botanically are actually fruit, like cucumbers or tomatoes. And so that, luckily, is growing in many of the places I travel. I try to stay in more tropical regions.
The same zone. And yeah, creatures are warm.
yeah. So in that respect, if there's anyone that I find with trees, with fruit trees, I definitely try to see if I can make friends and share the abundance by giving something back also. But yeah, that's kind of how I support myself in a food sense and stay away from the chance of the non-communicable diseases by keeping my diet based in plants.
Beside that, you start teaching in language lab again, yeah?
Yeah, I start this tomorrow, Tuesday.
Start tomorrow.
Yeah, come on out. I have 2 workshops tomorrow evening. I have a pronunciation workshop, which is always a lot of fun. It's for anyone who's a non-native English speaker. I specialize in teaching English pronunciation. And there's always lots of laughter in every workshop, so it's a good time. And then I also have a workshop called All Questions Answered. So I require the participants to come to the workshop with at least 3 questions about anything in English. It can be a tense that you just don't understand, or a word you don't know how to spell, whatever it is, something you're confused about and you want clarity. And by everyone sharing their individual question, all the other workshop participants and myself benefit. So, I mean, anyone is welcome. Orovillians, when they find out about it and come, they want to come to more workshops. So those 2 workshops are actually running throughout the month of October on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Cool. And then you get up actually early in the morning, so you have a 3rd, and I think this one is the most elaborate asanas, yeah?
Yes.
And closer to the heart part, most likely.
Yes. I teach asana at Verite from 6:45 to 8:15 in the morning, every morning except for Sunday. On Sunday, we have evening class at 5 o'clock. And my class is all levels. It's open to really anyone. And I've had lots of profound teachers all over the world in asana. I've also had teachers who say, don't practice asana, because there's a lot in yoga asana that the ego attaches to. And people tend to go farther than their body is able. And that's when there are subtle injuries that happen. So safety, student safety is my number one priority. And I teach then from my own experience. So nothing that comes out of my mouth, or nothing I ask of the students to do with their body.
You haven't tested yet.
I haven't experienced myself. Yeah. And it tends to be more of a deep practice, a practice where If it was up to me, all of my students would close their eyes the entire class. Because it's really an internal experience. And the point of asana, of course, is to create more space in the body. So to look in which ways we're compressing in our body and in our life.
So how are students in response to that?
I mean, I've had really, really wonderful response. More often than not, someone comes and says, oh, I didn't know this was happening. I wish I'd known sooner. I just spoke with an absolutely lovely man this morning who, he said to me that he feels his heart is really opened in the class, which is obviously something physical, but also something beyond. And that's definitely him. That's him stepping into his own vulnerability and being willing to open.
He's getting enlightened.
He wouldn't accept that answer. He said that I support that process. So I'm really happy to support that process in all ways for myself and others.
So on average, how many people do come early every morning?
This morning we had 6 men. I had a class of exclusively men this morning, which was something I'd never seen before. But anywhere from about 6 to 15 people.
That's a good number, yeah. That's a really good number.
So we have a nice
and what they do when you are gone?
I don't know. If anyone is an asana teacher with consciousness in their asana, please do call Verite. They are looking for someone from the start of November. But I'll be back in Oroville before.
Anything else
before
you do?
Time. Here, I'm not practicing colon hydrotherapy at Quiet anymore. So hopefully I'll talk to some people at the Integral Health Center to see if we can get a bit of space that can accommodate that kind of practice.
And I wouldn't be doing it.
I'll be happy to come back and practice, and also I hope to train someone in Oroville.
You do anything else?
I smile. I used to practice Vedic chanting with Nadaka and Gopika. I had to take a deep breath when I found out that they weren't here this time when I came back.
So you're planning to run around the planet?
Well, I have no idea what next year will bring. I do think that physically big changes are ahead for the Earth. I have that feeling that the ease and the facility that we have right now, that I have to move around the Earth, is something that we've taken for granted a bit, and that might not be here so easily in the future. So luckily I know how to sail a boat. But we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not really making plans for next year. I have some ideas, but we'll see what happens.
Andy, thank you for today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
The BCC group informs the community that Dominic and the Savvy team have agreed to coordinate the monthly renewal of volunteer waivers for the Oroville contributions. The BCC group feels this is a good solution for volunteer verification, as Savvy, being the agency for volunteers in Oroville, also acts as a supportive environment where the volunteer can network, get help and advice. They're asking us to sign the waiver form on a monthly basis and let our volunteers know that they should bring it to Savvy to be renewed each month. On Sunday, 14th of October at 7:30 p.m. at Sri Aurobindo Auditorium, Bharat Nivas, Pavilion of Indian Culture in International Zone, Arpana presents sitar recital by Basab Sen. Manoj Bardhan will accompany him on tabla. Aurelio, Anungla, Don, Caroline, and Joy would like to inform the community on a research resource project, Music for the Growing Soul. After initial meeting, a 2-year project has been launched with the aim of surveying, studying and possibly synthesizing the diverse activities in the music education field in Oroville. Starting with October, a questionnaire will be sent out and interviews conducted to explore the context of the activities of the musical active members of our community. Our collaboration and interest is invited and welcomed, and we can contact any of them. At Savitri Balan today at 6:30 p.m. we can see God Within, God Without, video of talk by George Van Vrekken. Religions are based on a system which pretends to own the divine and the way to meet him. Spirituality knows the divine to be the all, present in all. in the atoms as in the heart of the human. Thou art that. In this talk, George von Wrecken goes back to the roots of the spirituality in the West, to the Greek mysteries and the crucial importance of Gnosticism, the original sister movement of Christianity. At Cinema Partizan Town Hall, they will still follow Michelangelo Antonioni's series, and tonight at 8 p.m. we can see documentary Chunko China, parts 2 and 3, made in Italy in 1972. And tomorrow we will have a chance to see the famous and absolute classic in cinematography, Zabriskie Point, which is a drama romance and was made in Italy in 1970. On Wednesday, they will screen Antonioni's Su Antonioni, made in Italy in 2008 by Carlo Di Carlo. Personal effort is indispensable. Without it, nothing can be done. When the personal effort is sincere, the help is always there. Robert the Mother. Thank you for listening us, and you can contact us on ourlyradio.org.